Chapter 16. Zipports carried groups of people from the docking area to the palace. The large glass bubbles resembled eggs on their sides, and they were put on a magnetic track that took a scenic route around the decorative pool and up to the center courtyard of the palace. Saw positioned Jin near the glass so she could see, but as their zipport moved them closer to the chiefess's home, Saw subtly pushed his way deeper into the center of the glass egg, distancing himself from Jin. Maya had hung back with the ship, taking the next zipport. Colorful tents had been erected around the chiefess's large pool, and it was clear the Sakula festival was in full swing for the locals. The delicious scent of some sort of sweet fried dough permeated the zipport, and Jin could hear hawkers enticing people to buy souvenir nets with which to catch the Sakula petals. Mostly children ran around waving the nets, which had been decorated with colorful ribbons, but more than a few adults carried them as an accessory to their festive clothes. When the zipport stopped between the courtyard and the east end of the pool, everyone filed out. Saw let the crowd separate him from Jin. She watched as he went straight to the palace, holding out the image caster. A flash of apprehension shot through her, but the guards in front of the palace didn't question Saw's invitation in the slightest. He strode through the doors and was gone. While the west end of the pool overflowed with street vendors and children, the east end, closer to the palace, was more reserved. The colors were muted, and rather than tents, discreet benches had been placed along the water's edge and interspersed among the trees. The Sakula trees had long, slender branches that drifted easily in the near-constant breezes of Inusagi. The yellow petals that floated throughout the area were as soft as silk, with a hint of gold along the edges that didn't seem natural, but was beautiful nonetheless. People strolled through the trees in small groups or alone, talking in reserved voices. Jin chose a bench by the pool where there were fewer trees and she was more visible. As she sat, she caught the tail end of a conversation between a couple watching the palace steps and the stormtroopers who lined them. "It's not democracy if our chiefess is forced to sign a treaty with the Empire," the woman hissed. She wore robes similar to Jin's, a long stretch of embroidered cloth wound tightly around her upper body and trailed down her legs. Jin had thought her companion was a man by the clothes, but when the person spoke, Jin realized it was another woman. "The Empire is here, whether we like it or not," she said. "At least they're peaceful." "Peaceful," the first woman snorted. "Silence isn't the same as peace." Nevertheless, when they rounded the path and saw Jin listening to them, they both went quiet. Another man meandered down the path, nodding at the two women before he sat beside Jin. "Lots of people talk the big talk," he said in a strange accent. Jin nodded, her eyes scanning the Sakula trees, waiting for her first contact. "But in the end, they're about as threatening as a cloud," the man added. Jin froze. The code word. She glanced over at the man, and his eyes narrowed. She casually slid her hand in the purse, palmed an image caster, and slipped it into the man's hand. He nodded, his beard moving over his chest, and strolled away casually. A few moments later, he headed to the stairs and entered the palace. While the Sakula festival was a large tourist event, Jin saw only a handful of attendees who weren't human, and most of them kept close together, soon heading toward the more open festival on the other side of the pool. Everyone who approached Jin and said the code word was human. Many young men, a few women, and one old crone who looked as if she had a hunchback, although Jin wondered if it was a disguise to hide weapons. Jin was down to just a handful of image caster invitations, one to give the last member of the mission and the spares she had made. A wave of melancholy washed over Jin, unexpected and unbidden. But she couldn't help thinking how much her mother would have loved this experience. Lyra had always been seeking out the ways in which worlds were unique, She valued the differences in the galaxy. She would have loved Inusagi. More people crowded near where Jin sat, as if expecting something. They faced the pool, and Jin turned to see what they were watching. Soon, the still, glassy surface of the water broke, and diamond-shaped creatures as tall as Jin swooped out of the water, gliding across the surface. They were pale and hairless, very thin with almost invisible facial features. Their movements were part flying, part swimming, as they glided over the surface of the water. A thin membrane connected their heads to the tips of their fingers, and from there down to their ankles. "What are they?" Jin asked a woman nearby. "Wraiths," the woman answered. She sounded sad, which made no sense. The Wraiths' water dance was breathtakingly gorgeous, almost magical in the way they soared across the pool. Soon, a group of 6 Wraiths glided up to the edge of the pool, close to Jin. They were so thin, it seemed as if they would float away like the Sakula blossoms. But as soon as they stood, the Wraiths wrapped their membraned arms around their bodies, forming a narrow, almost cocoon-like shell around their torsos that gave way to looser folds flapping near their ankles. The 6 Wraiths made something of a small parade as they left the pool and marched toward the grand staircase of the palace. Tension crackled through the crowd that had grown, and no one spoke as the Wraiths walked through the floating Sakula blossoms and up the first few stairs. Jin watched as more stormtroopers, as well as some local guards, formed a barrier on the staircase, barring the Wraiths' entrance. The Wraith in the front said something, but Jin was too far away to hear it. She worried at first that the delicate white creatures would be struck down, but after a few moments, the Wraiths turned, beginning the long walk back the way they had gone. No one in the crowd gathered around the pool said a thing as the Wraiths hung their heads, denied entrance to the palace, and shamed in front of everyone. They slid into the water silently, spreading out their arms and quickly disappearing under the surface. "Such a shame," someone near Jin murmured. "A tradition broken." "Stupid animals," someone else muttered. "At least the Empire knows they're not important. They shouldn't be allowed on the surface." "They're people," Jin thought viciously. "Not animals." But she didn't say a word aloud.